this work? Well, to study dark energy, I don't think that any special motivation is needed. Two of the most important puzzles raised by the recent observational data are certainly the dark matter problem and dark energy problem. And even if we concentrate just on the dark energy problem, the situation is not so bright. We have many explanations that are proposed, but still we are far from the satisfactory solution. This is the outline of the today's talk. So after a brief introduction, I will dedicate most of my time trying to answer the question, can dark energy carry gauge charges? About 20 to 30 years ago, scientific community was interested in knowing whether dark matter can carry gauge charges, and the answer turned out to be no. Today we can ask an equivalent question, can dark energy carry gauge charges? And this time, answer seems to be yes, and very tightly connected to this will be our proposal that accelerated expansion of our universe is driven by the phase transition in which SU3 color symmetry is breaking. Okay, so you all know that several types of independent measurements, galaxy clusters, cosmic microwave background radiation, and supernovae allowed us to formulate for the first time in the history the standard cosmological model. And according to the standard cosmological model, our universe consists of 4% of matter, ordinary matter that we all know and love, 23% of dark matter that nobody has seen, and 73% of dark energy that nobody can understand. So the bad news are that 96% of the content of our universe is missing. So the first problem is known as a dark matter puzzle that I will be not discussing. I will be not discussing this today. And the second problem is known as the dark energy puzzle, or the fact that our universe is accelerating. So it looks like besides ordinary matter, we need something else with a constant or almost constant energy density omega lambda. And the minimal solution is the vacuum energy density or cosmological constant. And this energy drives an accelerated expansion of the universe. However, as Tommy Gold, astronomer from Cornell, once said, for every complex natural phenomenon, there is a simple, elegant, compelling, wrong explanation. There is no lack of models trying to explain cosmological constant. I will just flash briefly several of them, like the gravitational vacuum energy density, or the true cosmological constant, with all of the problems associated with it. Then the scalar filled vacuum energy density, or the quintessence models. Then F of R, or modified gravity models. Or maybe K essence, or modified kinetic term in the action, in the scalar field. Or maybe brain wall models, and so on. And finally, today I will be talking about a proposal that we made recently. So this is a mechanism that can explain cosmological acceleration, and yet can be tested in future collider experiments. It doesn't require symmetries and fields decoupled from the rest of the universe. So we used an analogy with the primordial inflation. In its history, our universe already had a period of acceleration. That's a primordial inflation. So imagine that you were living one Hubble time after the onset of primordial inflation, when the universe was 10 to the minus 35 seconds old. And if you were very smart, so that you could think very quickly, because you had only 10 to the minus 35 seconds time to think. So if you were very smart, then you would figure out that there exists a new fundamental energy scale, mgut, and you would conclude that there is a phase transition going on right now in a universe that is driving accelerated expansion of the universe. So it is likely that something very similar is happening right now. But there is an interesting question. What symmetry is being broken right now? So obviously, one can always invent a new symmetry decoupled from the rest of the universe. But instead, the most interesting and the most challenging possibility is that one of the only two remaining gauge symmetries, SU3 color and U1 electromagnetism, is breaking. Okay, so if we are talking about phase transition in which SU3 color symmetry is breaking, then we have only two possibilities. The phase transition can either be first order or second order. In the second order phase transition, we basically have a very light colored scalar field that is rolling down its own potential. However, this model would suffer from all of the shortcomings of quintessence models, plus it will be very difficult to hide the light colored scalar field. But the first order phase transition is much more convenient. So let me just quickly remind you what the first order phase transition is. So at some very high temperature, much higher than the critical temperature, the field is sitting happily at the bottom of the potential. Then at some lower temperature, but still higher than the critical, a new minimum develops. At exactly critical temperature, this minimum becomes degenerate with this one, and that at a temperature that is lower than the critical temperature, this minimum becomes the dominant one, the true vacuum, and this one becomes the false vacuum. So in this context, there exists a false vacuum with an unbroken symmetry, and there exists a true vacuum with a broken symmetry. So in a false vacuum, there exists no zero vacuum energy density that can play the role of cosmological constant. In the true vacuum, scalar field phi gets a non-zero vacuum expectation value. SU3 color symmetry is broken. Gluons become massive. Quark confinement is broken. Protons cannot exist, and we cannot exist. So if you are going to apply first order phase transition as an explanation to the late time acceleration of the universe, the phase transition better not be over yet. Okay? Let me just briefly point out the difference between the fine-tuned potential and not fine-tuned potential. For example, the shape of this potential is tuned because the energy difference between two vacua is much smaller than any other characteristic scale on this potential, like the height of this bump or the distance between the minima. However, the shape of this potential is not tuned at all. It is just shifted up globally by a small constant V0. So having this in mind, we are writing down the explicit model for the SU3 color symmetry breaking. So this is explicit potential. There exists a new massive colored scalar field phi that is transforming under the adjoint representation of SU3 color. This is the potential. Mu, lambda 1, and lambda 2 are just parameters in the Lagrangian. And in a diagonal traceless representation, this potential takes this nice form. Epsilon, parameter epsilon, is very important. That's the measure of the fine tuning of the shape of the potential. So epsilon is just a combination of some original parameters in the Lagrangian. If epsilon is zero, so if you don't have this term, then these two minima are degenerate. So one minimum at phi equal to zero and another at phi equal to phi zero, where phi zero is again some combination of the original parameters in the model. So if epsilon is zero, two minima at phi equal to zero and phi equal to phi zero, they're degenerate. If epsilon is not equal to zero, then one of them becomes true vacuum. It becomes energetically stable. And the difference between vacua, delta V, is proportional to epsilon. Okay, let's assign the numbers to the parameters. So V0, the overall shift of the potential, represents the cosmological constant. So that's the vacuum energy density. That's input from observations, and we fix it to be 10 to the minus 3 electron volts to the fourth degree. So we don't explain why this number is so small. We don't solve the cosmological constant problem. What about the mass of the colored scalar field? So we naturally choose it to be of the order of a TeV. So TeV is a magic word. Everybody expects new physics at a TeV scale. That's one of the reasons. And another reason is that it is very hard to hide a massive colored scalar field whose mass is very low. Then the difference in energy between the vacua is just epsilon times TeV. And then I did say that we don't explain this number. However, interesting numerology exists. So V0, this small number, is given as TeV, which is the fundamental scale of the physics, over M Planck times TeV. M Planck is quantum gravity energy scale. So this hints perhaps towards the gravitational origin of this small correction that lifts up the whole, globally, the whole potential. Okay, so what's the transition rate from one liking to another? The transition rate is given by the value of the Euclidean action straight from the Lagrangian that I showed you a little while ago. We can calculate the Euclidean action and see that the Euclidean action is proportional to 1 over the epsilon cubed. So transition time will be greater than the lifetime of the universe if the value of the Euclidean action is greater than 400. And this can be achieved for a very mild fine-tuning of the potential. Remember, epsilon was a measure of fine-tuning. So if you fix epsilon to be of order of 0.1, so that's very mild fine-tuning of the shape of the potential, we can satisfy all of the cosmological constraints, which are accelerated expansion, equation of state equals W minus 1, and we still exist. Phase transition is not over yet. In this context, we can also address the future of our universe. So first order phase transition proceeds with nucleation of bubbles of true vacuum. So if epsilon is equal to 0, then the transition time is infinite. If epsilon is 0.1, then we are just about to tunnel to the true vacuum. Does that mean that the doomsday is just around the corner? Not exactly, because the true vacuum is not necessarily an absolute doomsday. For example, you don't have to break SU3 core symmetry completely down to 1. You can break it down to one of its subgroups, for example, SU2 core. And in that case, some of the gluons will remain massless. Quark confinement will survive. Protons will survive. And we can imagine life similar to ours, even after the tunnel to the true vacuum. However, remember that the characteristic scale of the potential is of the order of TeV, while the overall shift is just 10 to the minus 3 electron volts. So if the potential is not fine-tuned, it is much more likely that the true minimum has negative energy density than positive. It is much more likely that the true vacuum is ADS rather than DS or flat space. So if the true vacuum is ADS, then after the tunneling, the whole universe will collapse into a black hole. That process is described by Coleman de Lucia instanton. And that will be a true doomsday, because in such a universe, it is very difficult to imagine any life. Okay, so that was the cosmology of the model, but what's the particle physics of the cosmology? So we live in the false vacuum with an unbroken symmetry. Scalar field has zero vacuum excitation value, which means that gluons are massless, quarks are confined, protons do exist, so everything is okay. Mass of the core scalar field is the order of TeV, so low energy QCD phenomenology is unchanged. However, the model has a very important bonus. Model can be tested in near future colliders, LHC, for example. The existence of a massive colored scalar field offers a very interesting near future accelerator phenomenology. Since we live in a false vacuum where SU3 core symmetry is not broken, then we cannot observe colored field propagating freely, but we can observe new massive colored singlet states. And there are two types of them. First one is bound states of phis, and second, bound states of phis with quarks. In the model that I just wrote down, we used adjoint representation, which is a-dimensional in SU3 classification scheme. In a-dimensional representations, 8 cross 8 and 8 cross 8 cross 3 cross 3 bar contain singlets, which are colored free states. However, if phi is not charged under the U1 electromagnetism, then these will be integer charged states. However, representations 3, 6, 10, 15, and 21 support colored singlets, which are fractionally charged. So they support bound states of this sort, phi QQ. So these will be fractionally charged hadrons, colored singlets, that can be, in principle, observed. So what's the experimental signature for that? So phi is a massive and colored film. So it can decay into gluons and quarks. Lifetime of the field phi depends on the couplings and specific representation of SU3 color. If the decay is fast, then the main signature will be gluon and quark jets in excess of the standard model prediction. But in order to produce fractionally charged hadrons, lifetime of phi should be longer than the characteristic hadronization time, which is 100 in the inverse. And that can happen if the field phi is protected by some symmetry, like R parity, for example. So production of fractionally charged hadrons is a very interesting prediction in this model. But the things become even better. So the potential barrier between two vacua, this Vmax, is only of the order of a TeV. You can calculate it straight from the potential that I give. What does that mean? That means that we can produce small bubbles of true vacuum of TeV inverse in size and watch them decay. Production of a critical bubble is the bubble that is able to expand, is suppressed. So for these generic models, values of the parameters in the model, where epsilon is 0.1, the critical bubble that is able to expand will have about 10 TeV inverse in size. Such a bubble will contain about 1,000 scalar field quanta, each of them TeV heavy. So LHC, not even cosmic rays, will have enough energy to produce 1,000 of scalar field quanta in the first place. And second, it's not enough just to produce 1,000 of scalar field quanta, because they will rather fly apart than assemble a highly coherent, precise state, which is the bubble. So you need a huge exponential suppression factor in front to account for complexity of the state that you're making. So production of a critical bubble able to expand and destroy our universe is highly suppressed. However, production of a subcritical bubble, only a TeV in size or a few TeV in size, should not be suppressed. And then Vachaspati constructed a very nice recipe, how to reconstruct the field theory by studying field excitations if kink solutions are present in theory. If we excite the potential just locally, we can learn only about the local structure of the potential. To learn about the global structure of potential, we have to excite a solution that interpolates between the vacuum. So we have to excite a kink solution. In our context, kink solution is a domain wall solution, closed domain wall, which is a small bubble of true vacuum. So in principle, we can reconstruct the scalar field potential in future accelerators by studying decay patterns of small through bubbles of true vacuum. And this is just a brief outline of the process. So if the scalar field theory is given by this Lagrangian, equation of motion can be written down in a Schrodinger-like form. It's a practically eigen equation with eigenstates omega n. One of these eigenstates, the zero mode with omega equal to zero, is very important because Bogomolny equation gives you the relationship between the zero mode and the shape of the potential. Then in two or three steps, you can show that all you have to do is to solve this equation for the zero mode, for z zero. The problem is that Z0 is connected to this term to all of the higher modes, like Z1, Z2, Z4, and so on. But once you have, so this is an iterative set of equations, but once you have Z0, you just plug it into this equation, and then you reconstruct the shape of the potential. And fortunately, two of the most important examples of theories that contain kink solutions, for example, Sine-Gordon and phi-4 theory, they are simple enough that you can solve the system of equations analytically because they contain respectively one and two zero modes, so one and two bound states. For all of the more complicated potentials, you cannot solve the system of equations analytically, but you can solve them numerically. And again, you can reconstruct the potential. And this method is known as an inverse scattering method. Let me just briefly say at the end that the model is compatible with supersymmetric theories where massive core scalar fields appear naturally. It has been known for a while that many of the true vacua in the landscape of supersymmetric vacua are collaborating. A vast part of the parameter space has been excluded as non-physical, but we see that some of these vacua can drive accelerated expansion of the universe. So these are the conclusions. First order phase transition in which SU3 core symmetry breaks can explain accelerated expansion of the universe. Low energy QCD phenomenology remains the same. There exists new signature for the future colliders experiments, and we can reconstruct the potential in colliders. And answer to the question in title, yes, dark energy can have a color. Then I will stop.
It's not the true vacuum that drives the acceleration expansion. It's the false logical constant in the false vacuum. So the immediate question is, why did you needed the true vacuum anyway, since you're not supposed to go there?
You don't need it. I mean, right, you can hook up a potential.
Can I just have like pi square potential with constant?
But then how are you gonna check it? What's the experimental signature? How are you gonna connect cosmology with particle physics? So can you falsify your model? See, there are specific predictions of the model that you can go out and check. The model that you are talking about, that's practically like true cosmological constant that is constant forever, for all times, no phase transition, nothing. So I'm talking about phase transitions in particular, with all of the signatures that follow from phase transition.
But doesn't it still has this mass of the TeV and it carries color, so can't you still check for it at the LHC, the model this gentleman described?
Right. You can find, for example, a massive color stellar field with the potential that the gentleman is describing, but then you cannot, you don't have kink solutions in such a model. So if you have a model just in a single vacuum like that, there are no kink solutions, so you cannot study the pattern of the symmetry breaking. So if there is no symmetry breaking, okay, let's say you find a color stellar field. How do you check the global structure? How do you know that that field is connected with cosmology at all? So you need something else.
Is there another question?